continuing in our Ezra Maya series, and this is a follow-up to last week where we talked about the apostasy of Israel and the fact that Ezra had a more ethnic take on provisions in the law of Moses to keep Israelites from marrying people who were into idolatry. Moses said, don't marry these foreign women, but it wasn't because they were of a different race, it was because they worshipped other gods. Ezra took a more ethnic take on this. And of course, this follows through in that this balances the provisions of the Mosaic Law against intermarriage. And in fact, it's called the Law of the Stranger. We're going to find out that this was placed in the Law of Moses. It was for the purpose of being a blessing to all nations of the earth. And so with that in mind, let's go here. We're not going to see a lot of Ezra or Nehemiah in this directly, but this is in that backdrop. This is what could have been, if you will. This is what God wanted to do under the Mosaic Covenant, what the opportunity that was there. Before the Israelites rejected their Messiah, before things took a different road, and I'm going to go into how the New Covenant superseded the Mosaic Covenant, but this was the provision of the Mosaic Covenant. Had it been followed, the Mosaic Covenant might have still be a thing today as something that would be an umbrella for all nations. But let's go into the text here. Let's see, what is the law of the stranger? My other motivation for the sermon is that people will take a key verse in this and they would merchandise it for political gain. They would do political eisegesis on it. They would take a verse and say, this means that you have to allow the illegal alien to come into your country. This means you have to allow anyone, even if they're rapists, even if they're murderers. That the law of the stranger means that we should abolish our borders, that immigration enforcement is inherently tyrannical. And so what began as a corrective to that eisegesis, I saw real quickly that it was relevant to the issues that Ezra and Nehemiah was dealing with. So with that in mind, let us go into the law of the stranger. We're going to go into this message, the context of the law of the stranger. During this message, we're going to find out that the stranger is actually a convert. And then we're going to see the purpose of the law of the stranger revealed as we look into a diversity of what the Bible says about stranger, particularly the uses of the word ger in the Mosaic Covenant. So what is the context of the law of the stranger? Well, there's several things to keep in mind here. One, it was dependent on the Mosaic Covenant because it was contained in the covenant. It was a covenantal provision. And we should also keep in mind that Leviticus does not address modern immigration. It was never understood as such by Jewish listeners and readers. The ancient Hebrews would have had no concept of what the leftists talk about today when they argue that this makes immigration enforcement unbiblical. They had no such concept. It wasn't there. It's not there in the text. It wasn't there in their minds. It was simply an invention of modern political operatives who want to weaponize the Bible. And that's one thing that irks me, is weaponizing the Bible. If you're going to talk about what the Bible says about politics, find out what God's will is and then tell us that. Don't simply subvert it to your agenda. And then, of course, as I said before, the border abolitionist crowd does eisegesis with this. So we're not going to be doing eisegesis. This sermon is about exposing the eisegesis and doing actual exegesis, finding out what did God mean through the law of the stranger. As we go through the message, we're going to go through a variety of different places. There's 83 some odd occurrences of the word ger, which is a word, Hebrew word translated stranger. 83 occurrences. We're not going to go into all 83, but we're going to go into some critical ones that kind of give us some clues as to what that means. Now, when I say this, depend on the Mosaic Covenant, we need to understand some nuances here. The Mosaic Covenant contains moral laws, Levitical laws, and then civil laws. Only the moral law would be universal today. Moral law would be things such as thou shalt not commit murder. That is universal. That applies to everyone. All times, all places, all nations. Only that is universal here. Now, the Levitical law, that's the priestly codes. That's the food laws, the cleanliness laws. They are fulfilled in Christ. And the civil law is tied to the legal force of the covenant. So the civil laws that are in the Mosaic covenant would be legally binding only under those people who would be subject to that covenant, who are parties to that covenant. Only our moral laws universal. It's in Romans 2 here. The Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things that are in the law. These, though not having the law, are a law unto themselves who show the work of the law written on their hearts. Folks, this is how everyone knows murder is wrong. Even those who do not grow up in a religious household, God put it in their heart. And so when the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not commit murder, people know murder is wrong. When it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, everyone knows adultery is wrong. And they know it in spite of what their worldview or their talking points will tell you. The Levitical law is fulfilled in Christ. And later this year, we're going to do a series in Hebrews. And we're going to talk about this here. How it was fulfilled in Christ. And of course, the whole book of Hebrews is generally on that theme. In Hebrews 7, it talks about how Christ fulfilled it. And this is what it says in the 26th verse. For such having a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, as he become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices. In other words, Jesus is in the temple in heaven. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day. And so when Christ died on the cross, he eliminated the need for the Levitical laws. And I'll go into that in much more detail in our series in Hebrews. And again, finishing up in verse 28, for the law appoints as high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son who has been perfected forever. So Christ fulfilled the Levitical law, and his priesthood will not be cut off by death because he lives forever. Now the civil law is tied to the legal force of the covenant, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot here. I'm just kind of doing the background here, so if I look like I'm glossing over, I am, but I just want to give you a background here as we go into the texts today. The Gentile nations were not signatories of the Mosaic Covenant. The United States of America is not a subject of the Mosaic Covenant. The United States of America did not enter into the Mosaic Covenant with God. And so therefore, legal provisions, civil laws of that, don't apply to the United States in a legally binding way. Now, the Mosaic Covenant can be used, generally speaking, as a source of wisdom. And the Founding Fathers quoted generously from it. The most quoted book of all the books that they quoted from, both biblical and secular, was the book of Deuteronomy. And they saw it as a source of wisdom. They didn't see it as binding law, but they saw it as wisdom to inform the laws that would be a part of a covenant between the United States and God that would be unique to the American people. Now, what wisdom is it providing here? And this is where we're going to get into what does the Bible say about the law of the stranger? We're going to find out as we go into these texts here that the stranger is a convert. We're going to see passages that instruct us that strangers were required to keep the Passover. We're going to find out that only the circumcised can keep the Passover. And then we're going to find out circumcised strangers are legally the same as the native born. We're going to find out that strangers are required to keep the Sabbath. We're going to find out that strangers are required to keep the Day of Atonement, and they're included among the atoned ones. So all these things are marks of a convert. If you're doing these things of the Mosaic Covenant, you are a convert to Judaism. You're not an outsider anymore. And the law of the stranger was basically saying these people who are a foreign seed, they come in and they embrace the God of Israel, and they keep the Passover. They keep the feasts of Israel. They keep the Sabbath, and they obey the laws of the covenant. You are to count them among the people of God. And so this is my thesis here, and I'm going to now go into texts that support this. This isn't just my opinion, but that the texts themselves support it. Strangers were indeed required to keep the Passover, and the text is in Exodus 12, 18 to 19. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your house, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. So the stranger was required to keep the Passover. And noteworthy here, the strangers that are keeping it are considered a part of the congregation of Israel. They are citizens of Israel, folks, here. Circumcised strangers are legally the same as native-born. Exodus 12, 48 and 29. When a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Let them come in near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Now, under the covenant of circumcision was established as the rite of passage into the congregation of Israel. And so by being circumcised, that's equivalent to when someone becomes naturalized and they swear in as a citizen of the United States. So you see very quickly, this isn't applying to the illegal alien. This is not applying to someone that comes over. It can't be applied to someone that comes over who has no intentions of becoming an American or a British person or any other country. You can't apply the law of the stranger. It's to those who wish to convert to the nation that they're going to. It's those who wish to become a part of that nation, not merely physically exist, while still holding to their own nationality, holding to their own ways, or even worse, they're wreaking havoc, they're robbing, they're raping, they're murdering. People who come to America to rape and murder are not protected by the law of the stranger here. Those who were in Israel who were doing that were put to death, or they were banished. They were not treated as native born, but those who went to become circumcised, that was saying, I want to join your people. Your God is my God. And this circumcision represents the cutting off of my flesh to be devoted to the Lord. Strangers were required to keep the Sabbath. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. And this shall be a statute for you, Leviticus 16, 29 to 30. And this for me was a censure here, folks. Because the Day of Atonement, that was where the congregation was cleansed from their sins. Of course, we read in Hebrews that the Mosaic Covenant couldn't really take away sins. But this was the type and shadow that looked forward to Christ. This was where people got right with God. And this was the best that they had under the Mosaic Covenant for getting right with God, was the Day of Atonement where sins would be cleansed. It says, this shall be a statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. And notice you is tied to both. Keep that in mind now. Both of these groups are part of the you. He's addressing a collective you. And it's applying to both the native born and a stranger. It says, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you. to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So you see here, the strangers were not only required to keep it, but they was included among the atoned ones. This can only mean one thing, folks, these laws here. It can only mean that the stranger under Mosaic law was a convert to Judaism. The Hebrew word ger was never meant to be applied to people who were just passing through, not intending to be an Israelite. It wasn't meant to those who came there to stir up people to worship the gods of the nations around them. Do you know what they did to idolaters? Do you know what they did to people who came in there to convert them to the pagan gods? They put them to death. You think ICE is bad? ICE is nothing compared to what the Mosaic law did to people who came over to convert Israelites to the pagan idols. It was capital punishment, folks. And that by law. That was the law. The stranger was a convert. So if the stranger is a convert to Judaism, if the stranger isn't someone that's just passing through, and typically those who were just passing through, there was a provision for people who were there temporarily, and there's a couple of places where ger is translated sojourner because the context involves someone that was only there temporarily. This could include heads of state of other nations that were having diplomatic relations with Israel, or this could have included people that were just going through Israel because they were going from Babylonia to Egypt, or from Egypt to Babylonia, or people trading. There were people that would be there temporarily. They was not planting themselves there as permanent residents, but they was in the land, and there were certain rules that applied to them that allowed for this commerce and this trafficking to happen. But for those who were permanent residents, the stranger was a convert. Now, what was the purpose here? Well, there's three purposes. One was simply an application of the golden rule of the foreigners. The Israelites were to treat strangers among them as they would, because they was a stranger in Egypt. The second purpose is to formulate a consistent rule of law. The worst thing you want is a two-tiered legal system. The worst thing a country can have is an apartheid legal system where you have one law for one group and a different law for a different group. That never ends well. That breeds animosities. And that leads to neither oppression or civil war, because those two groups become at enmity with one another, because they're treated differently under the law. One and one group will inevitably be favored and the other group will not. We saw this in our country under what would be called the Jim Crow era, with the Jim Crow laws. And the separate but equal is never equal. The Supreme Court correctly realized that it's inherently unequal. The only way to get equality is to have a consistent rule of law, to have the same law apply to everyone. And our concepts of the rule of law, we got from the Mosaic Covenant, because the Mosaic Covenant showed an advanced understanding of the rule of law. They were to be ruled by law. And in fact, they didn't have a king until later they cried to have a king. It was a rule of law, not a government of laws and not of men. And then the third, and this is the most important one here, this allowed a pathway for foreigners to participate in the covenants of the people of God. So let's unpack the purpose of the law as a stranger here. The application of the golden rule, the foreigners. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and prophets. And the Mosaic law, it says, do not oppress a stranger, for you was a stranger in the land of Egypt. So this purpose is just applying the golden rule. Also, it formulates a consistent rule of law that sets a precedent for a government of laws, not of men. It avoids an apartheid state, and it keeps Israel focused on blessing all nations. It reflects God's love for all people, because God didn't love only the Israelites. He chose them out of all the peoples of the world, but he loved the whole world. So much he sent his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves all people. And we're going to see that the law of the stranger was a way to accomplish this in the Mosaic Covenant. Okay. A pathway for foreigners to participate in the covenant of the people of God in Ephesians. And Paul's addressing the Gentiles here, and this is what he says. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. So that he's talking about Gentiles, and he's talking about the Israelites, the native-born Israelites. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. They weren't citizens of Israel. They didn't have the rights and responsibilities that come with being a part of the congregation of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. So Jesus separated the barrier between Jew and Gentile. If you put your faith in Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Messiah, you are fellow citizens. And as the text goes on here, he abolished the enmity, the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace that he might reconcile them both to God in one body in the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. So the enmity between Jew and Gentile, that enmity was, of course, that the Jews were partakers of the Mosaic Covenant. The law of the commandments is talking about the supersession of the Mosaic Covenant with the New Covenant. And so Christ created himself, one new man from the two, under the New Covenant. And so Ephesians is describing a pathway that is under the New Covenant, folks. The law of the commandment contained in ordinances was a reference to the Mosaic Law. And it created a barrier. And remember, by the time Paul came along, you had Ezra's interpretation, you had layers of rabbinic Judaism. They were far removed from what the Mosaic Law itself provided for. And we're going to see in Hebrews, the Mosaic Law had weaknesses of its own. So Christ came in to create a new covenant. And under that new covenant, he then brings Jew and Gentile together as fellow citizens of Israel. Because we become fellow citizens with the saints. Again, Romans 17, 7 to 25 takes up the same point. And if some of you branches were broken off, you being a wild olive tree were grafted in from among them. In other words, he's talking about the Gentiles here. He's explaining why Israel fell. Some of them were broken off if through unbelief. The Gentiles were grafted in through belief. It says, you being a wild olive tree were grafted in from among. So Gentiles are joined to the olive tree that is Israel, and with them became a partaker of the root and of the fatness of the olive tree. In verse 23, they also, if they do not continue unbelief, will be grafted in as God is able to graft them in again. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, Israel rejected Christ, and during that period, this last 2,000 years, God is bringing Gentiles into the olive tree of Israel. And so shall all Israel will be saved. As is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob and for this covenant with them when I take away their sins. So you see, a pathway was created for foreigners to participate in the covenants of the people of God. Through Jesus Christ, we become citizens of Israel. And Christ did it under the new covenant. He didn't do it under the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant stood in the way. And if you look at all the great systematic theologies, whether you're a covenantalist or a dispensationalist, or you hold the olive branch theology or some other interpretive theology, the big question is always, what do you do with the Mosaic covenant? The Abrahamic covenant, the same today as it was in the days of Abraham, the Davidic covenant, just as legally binding today as it was in the days of David when God made his promises to David. The Mosaic covenant, however, is a different creature altogether. It depended on continued observance of the law. Provisions were made where it could be breached. The Mosaic covenant could be breached and could end up falling out of force due to breach of contract. It was possible to breach the contract with the Mosaic covenant. It was not possible to breach the Davidic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of the pieces, cannot be breached because those covenants are fulfilled once and for all. God passed between the pieces in the covenant of the pieces. And God did fulfill the Davidic covenant by sending Jesus Christ as the heir to the throne of David. Those cannot be annulled. The Mosaic covenant depends upon people. And so when Christ came, he did it under the new covenant. And the purpose of this was to fulfill the call that God gave to Israel. Genesis 12, 2-3, it says here, this is about blessing all the nations of the earth. It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God wanted Israel to be a blessing of all the families of the earth. And in a lot of political commentary, we focus on verse 3, the first part, but not the last part so much. And of course, this was fulfilled in Christ. And Christ fulfilled it because God had an ongoing program for Israel, one that they ultimately failed to do under the Mosaic covenant. But the law of the stranger, however, had they followed the law of the stranger, it could have been done under the Mosaic covenant. Because the purpose of the law of the stranger was to allow for foreigners to come in. They could come in, they could join with Israel. They could become Israelites, just like Ruth became an Israelite. It was God's plan. God created the opportunity under the Mosaic covenant for all nations to come in to be part of Israel, to become under that covenant. That game failed. And so now God is doing the same thing under the new covenant. So the law of the stranger should be about bringing people in. You don't oppress the stranger. Because ultimately the stranger is to be brought in. He's become part of the family. And in protecting the family, it also means adequately not oppressing the stranger means protecting your newcomer into the family from those who would come in to rob, to rape, to kill. Imagine now, you have a son, he gets married. Gets married to a beautiful young lady. This beautiful young lady has a stalker. And the stalker decides he's going to break into the house and rape her. Does the law of the stranger mean you welcome him in? Or does the law of this, is not oppressing the stranger mean you welcome him in? Or does it mean you pull out a 9mm or a 40 caliber and put a bullet in his head to stop him from raping your daughter-in-law? I would suggest the latter. Love sometimes involves protecting those you love from those who would harm them. And so the law of the stranger isn't about abolishing the borders, let anything happen, but it's about showing kindness to those who want to become a part of the covenant of God. It's about a pathway so that the whole world could be saved. The opportunity was created in the Mosaic Law. That ultimately failed. And so now the call is going out under the new covenant. The call to all mankind. Christ died for the sins of the whole world so that the call could go out for everyone to come. The only limiting factor is to whosoever, which is potentially universal, but actually not universal, in actuality exclusive. Everyone who comes is welcome. But this was the condemnation, that men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. But those who love the truth come to the light that it may be shown that it was wrought in God. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness. We praise you and we thank you. And Lord, help us to have compassion on people that come in to America for a better life. Help us have compassion on those that are different from us, that want to become part of us. And Lord, allow that same compassion, not a toxic compassion that says wonderful platitudes while the bad guys rob, rape, and murder, but a true compassion that brings in those who seek shelter under our wing while defending them from the predators of this world and ultimately defending people from the predations of Satan. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.